The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you live and local this morning in our WTBR studio. And it is Thursday, June 20th. It is the beginning of summer, the summer solstice, 4:50 p.m. today. It will be officially summer, but you know, this week it's already been summer if you've been outside at all. My goodness, it that is a welcome to summer if I've ever heard of one. We've got some hot temperatures out there. Sounds like today's going to be our last 90-degree day for at least a few more. Although it's going to stay hot, we are going to get some thunderstorms. It sounds like maybe, possibly, we'll find out a little later today. But we have some of that good stuff coming. I just want to make one quick announcement and an acknowledgement here before we get underway today. We have Pete White, by the way, Pittsfield City Council President and Councilor at Large, joining us this morning. It's going to be a great program. You're going to want to stick around for that entire show for sure. And before we get to the weather, I just wanted to make note of something very important here at WTBR and PCTV. As mentioned on the live parade and preview program that happened on Tuesday night, if you were watching PCTV or watching it on PCTV Select that night, you knew that the Grand Marshal of the Pittsfield 4th of July Parade was named on that show. And I'll just read the Eagle article quickly here that's in B1 today, we're very proud of. Local radio personality William P. Bill Sturgeon has been selected by the Pittsfield Parade Committee as Grand Marshal of the 4th of July Parade. The parade will step off at 10 a.m. on Thursday, July 4th in downtown Pittsfield, and this year's theme is Red, White, Blue, and You. Sturgeon hosts WTBR's Morning Drive, yes he does, and serves on Pittsfield Community Television's Board of Directors and WTBR's Community Advisory Board. He served a tour with the 101st Airborne Airmobile in Vietnam and was awarded the Bronze Star and the Army Commendation Medal before his 1971 discharge. Sturgeon's career in criminal justice has spanned over 45 years locally, nationally, and with the Department of Justice. He co-authored No Time to Play and Recess is Over with the late Barry Glick, and Think Like a Terrorist to Combat Terrorism and Radicalization in Prison with Francisca Spina. He was named 2024 Irish Person of the Year by the Irish American Club of Berkshire County and was awarded the United Cerebral Palsy of Western Mass Community Impact Award in 2023. Asked how he wants to prepare for his day of marching, Sturgeon says he wants to visit the Shrine of the Blessed Mother in New Lebanon, New York, where he will light a candle to honor all Vietnam veterans living and deceased. We're proud of Bill Sturgeon here. Congratulations, Bill, on being the Grand Marshal of the Pittsfield 4th of July Parade, and very happy to see that happen. And we hear you're going to ride. You're going to ride, so don't worry about marching, unless you really want to, but I think you got every right to sit in that car and wave to everybody, and we'll be capturing everything on the cameras of PCTV that day, so feel free to jump out and watch the parade in person. Hopefully it won't be a 95, 97 degree day like it has been, but I'm sure we'll have good weather for it and everyone will be enjoying this year's 4th of July parade. Okay, first let's go to the weather forecast, see what we have in store for us today and maybe into tomorrow from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Heat advisory in effect until 8 p.m. EDT this evening. Today, partly sunny. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind, frequent lightning, and heavy rainfall this afternoon. Hot with highs around 90. West wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind, frequent lightning, and heavy rainfall in the evening. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. West wind around 5 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Chance of rain 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. So our heat wave is going to end with a bang today, possibly 50% chance, but you know that's going to happen. We're going to get something. It's just going to happen here. All right, welcome back to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And joining me in the studio, Pete White, the City Council President. Good morning, Pete. How are you?
Good, Sean. How are you doing? And really want to start off by congratulating Bill Sturgeon on being our 4th of July Parade Grand Marshal.
Yep, excellent choice, I think.
I don't think you get more.
For the work he's done in the community.
You don't get more red, white, blue in you than Bill Sturgeon.
That's absolutely true. That's right. He fits the theme up to a T, I would say. We're all happy about that here. And we knew about it a little while ago. We had to kind of keep it under wraps a little bit. We didn't want it getting out. But, it's a great choice for sure. So, Pete White, we've got so much to talk about. I think I looked back and it has been a few months since you've been on the show with me anyway. And I think you've probably been on with Bill at least once or twice this year as a president. But this is your first time through being the president of a budget process. And, of course, that's the big thing that just wrapped up, just concluded with a final vote on the mayor's budget on the 11th of June. What was the process like this year?
It was pretty smooth. The mayor and I have been working together for a long time as council president, vice president. I had asked for the budget a little earlier than I think the mayor might have otherwise put through, but I wanted the council to have enough time, given some of the things that we have had to deal with in the past. And the mayor had, agreed to get it to us when it was put forward. And it was a shorter process than usual. Like some of the meetings were very quick.
Yeah, under an hour, one of them. I was very surprised.
I think we had one that was like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like 30, 50 minutes. And then the school department one is always about almost just under 4 hours.
Sure.
However, I think it's because the mayor had already made a lot of cuts or reductions.
Right.
And when we were looking at the budget, it was really difficult to make any further reductions given what we could see the mayor had already done and where things were at, what the needs of the city are. I think it's a good budget. However, we would always like to be able to do more, and the people of Pittsfield are always asking us to do more. Mm. And we have some built-in reductions there with, I'm sure we'll get into trash and recycling and everything else. For my first time through, I get to work with a great group of counselors.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are professionals, and it makes it a lot easier to run meetings and be in meetings when you have that caliber of counselors with you.
Yeah, stark contrast from previous years, and you've been on the council for a number of years and seen people come and go, and some have been, shall we say, disruptions to the process, whether that's for the effect of disrupting or maybe just to prove a point. I didn't see a lot of that this year other than maybe the school budget. And again, as you mentioned, the mayor had already made quite a few cuts in the proposed budget going in and had worked with a lot of the departments to do so. And I guess in tough years and in difficult years where there isn't as much money coming in, the reality kind of sets in and you say, look, there's no way that this budget is going to go through with those kinds of increases, right? But the school budget had already gone through some cuts, and yet the city council still sort of singled that one out and said, no, we want to see more cuts there. What was that process like?
First, I want to say, previous councils, we've had debate and discussion. It's not that they're bad people. It's not that they're bad counselors. Just different styles. This style of this council and given the budget in front of us was smoother. But I think with the school budget, the city council did exactly what the city council is supposed to do. We reviewed a budget, and there were more than six counselors on the council. I was not one of them. I voted against the $200,000 reduction. We did our job. Yep. We reviewed budgets.
Well, I guess that's why you have 11 counselors, right?
Right.
Is that you're going to have 11 different opinions, but sometimes there's a momentum that builds up. behind certain things, and the school budget seemed to be the one that people were focused on this year. And whether, you know, you have two different governing bodies there. You have a city council that's required to review every department budget and approve it so that the final budget can get through. And then the school committee's charge is a little different because they take a budget that the city council approves and they work with it, right? They say, okay, now we're going to distribute this the way that we see fit as a school committee. So therefore, the city council doesn't have a specific control over their line items. And that's where some of the tug and pull comes from, right?
Yeah. With the school department, you know, we have an elected school committee that I think people need to pay a lot of attention to, not because they're doing bad things, but because they do, you know, over half the budget is under their purview and they're in charge of, you know, making the environment for our students to learn. So they have one of the most important jobs you can have beyond being a parent in the lives of our students.
And it's the largest department in terms of budget as well, right?
It's the largest department. I think this year was right around $83 million from the city taxpayer side of things. And we need to make sure that those budgets, you know, when they leave the city council, that the city council feels comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. And I think there's been years where there's been, you know, Councilor Persip has brought up a lot about turnbacks, which is the amount of money not spent at the end of the year. And the school department has not wasted money and not, I wouldn't even say, you know, creatively used it, but they've put, instead of having larger turnbacks, they've done projects within the schools that need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather see it listed out in the budget as they give it to us.
Yeah.
However, you know, they have money at the end of the year for not using it for, you know, maybe being creative, maybe for saving a little money. You know, they fix tiles, do rugs, you know, whatever is needed at the end of the school year, which I hate to fault them for because they are helping our children have better environments to learn.
Right.
However,
and sometimes with a big budget like that and with companies that are sort of watching their dime the entire year and they don't spend money, they kind of build up a wish list after a while. They say, well, we know that this needs to be fixed and that needs to be fixed, and we're holding off until we know that we don't have to spend the money anymore, and then let's go ahead and fix that. I get that mindset.
I get that mindset. However, in the way public governmental bodies work, it's not really the way it should be done. Mm. And I also understand that if it was a private company, those monies could go into bonuses and all kinds of things that, you know, private companies can do. However, we're spending the taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
So we have to be transparent and careful in how that's done. And I think through conversation, we could set up better measures for if things were like that would be done. Maybe we'll have more committees throughout the year. You know, Dr. Cameron, the chair of the school committee, and I have talked about having joint meetings. Mm-hmm. School committee member William Garrity has put out possibly having a joint subcommittee to talk about issues. Mm. I think there are ways we can get to the end of the fiscal year when we're doing budgets to not have it be adversarial and to make sure that we're all doing what we need to do for the students and taxpayers of Pittsfield.
Yeah, so communication there probably is the key, and there isn't a lot automatically built in because of the nature of having two separate elected bodies just like that, right? They can grow apart in a lot of ways where one sort of has a camp and they do what they do and another one has another camp and they don't necessarily talk too well. So what other kinds of things would you like to see to improve that over the next year?
Well, I think the House and the Senate in Boston do it pretty well with joint committees.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's, you know, the entire council getting together with the entire school committee or having select members get together to talk about preset issues, having more tours of the schools, you know, making sure that city councilors are invited to all of the events going on in the schools, I think would help tremendously because there is no way any city councilor or any school committee member could watch every single meeting that is on PCTV. And there's definitely no way you can attend them all in person.
Yeah.
A lot of them happen at the same time.
Right.
You know, PCTV does a great job of highlighting things. This show in the morning does a good job of getting different voices on so we know what's going on. But we need to have more formal communication so we can, you know, make sure that the city council's letting their voice be known before the budget comes.
Yeah. in other news in the budget, capital spending, borrowing, use of free cash, all of those things were laid out in the budget. Didn't seem to have too much conversation around those, a little bit, but where is all that headed for the next year or two?
I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but I know with the $2.5 million in free cash is a record number that I know, just knowing the mayor, you know, I'm not speaking for him, but knowing him over the years and how little he's wanted to use free cash and how it's not exactly the most sound way of setting up your budget. When he put in $2.5 million worth of free cash, I knew that every other reduction that could be made had been made because there's no way you set yourself up to potentially have a deficit in future years. If you don't continue to have that amount of free cash and you spend it on operating costs, you risk the, you know, the risk of having a deficit in following years, which can be detrimental because you may have to raise taxes higher going forward. I think we're at a point where he used the maximum amount without hopefully that happening, but we'll have to see where free cash is when it's certified this year. And with capital, you know, there's always things that need to be done. There's vehicles that need to be purchased. And it was a pretty sound, you know, reasonable asks that were put forward. So those went through without very, like, to no debate because we knew everything that was in there was just, okay, we need this to keep moving the city moving.
Yeah. And there was a bit of a focus on the vehicles this year as well. That came up in a couple different meetings to talk about the number of vehicles that the city has, who uses them for what, how long they last, things like that. Does that all figure in also to, is there a way to reduce some of those things or just a lot of those vehicles just needed? For, just imagine all the different vehicles that are out there, everything from construction vehicles to people that drive them for health and for the police and the fire department. Every fire truck is a vehicle that's listed on the city's list, right? All those have costs.
They do. And, you know, the big discussion this year has, as it's been in previous years, is, you know, what vehicles are taken home? Why are they taken home? What is the policy around it? Which are all good questions that should be asked and should be discussed by the city council. No citizen should be approaching our city employees, yelling at them or telling them that they're wasting taxes, which I have heard has
happened. Does that happened. Really happen?
From what I've heard, it's happened.
Wow.
And I find that to be appalling.
Right.
Because those city employees are doing their jobs. They've been approved to take home those vehicles. And no one should be accosted for doing their job or yelled at or say they're wasting taxpayer dollars. That's for us to have discussions on and to make sure the policies are in place. And if citizens want to yell at anyone, they should get on the phone and talk to the city council or the mayor, not our city employees who are just doing their jobs. So that really upsets me when I hear that sort of thing going on, which I hope never happens again.
Well, that's why you have a city council, and that's why you have representative government, because if you do have concerns, you bring them to your ward council or your councilor at large, or just pick up the phone and call the mayor. I'm sure they get a lot of opinions throughout the year.
We do, and that's why we're in this. You know, that's why we try to make ourselves available. That's why we go out places. That's why we're on the radio here.
Yeah.
That's why people can call me at 329-4194, email me at pwhite@cityofpittsfield.org. All our information is on the city website. We're the people to contact with your concerns over things like that, and we do go to department heads. We talk to them about why people are taking vehicles home, how often they're called in, how much time it saves not having them go to a city yard to pick up a vehicle when something needs to be handled immediately.
Excuse me, and we're speaking with Pete White here. He's a city council president in the city of Pittsfield and a councilor at large, and this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Overall, Pete, the city's budget gets passed in June, and then the tax rate gets set usually in late November, early December. What can people look forward to for the increase this year? And I know it's, you can never exactly pin it down because there's a lot of factors that happen between now and then, but it seems like it's in the mid fives, somewhere in that range.
I've heard that number thrown around. you know, we never quite know. It'll depend on where, you know, revenues are coming in. You know, how much do we get in meals tax?
Mm-hmm.
How much is the hotel motel taxes bringing in? You know, where's the projections that Director Kerr would put out there coming in at? You know, how much, you know, even downtown parking revenue comes in to offset other things and just
vehicle excise tax, right? Things like that.
Yeah. Mm. You know, everyone paid their taxes. Mm. You know, that's an important thing. You know, I don't have the number on hand, but it's a high number of people who haven't paid their taxes, and that, you know, hurts.
Yeah.
You know, so if it's in the fives, that would be the, you know, the proposition 2.5 limit plus new growth.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see, you know, what that allows. Hopefully we see more savings in coming years on the new trash and recycling proposal that was put forward in the past. You know, so
we'll be talking about that probably in the second half of the show here today. I know a lot of people want to talk about that. And, you know, it is definitely it's passed and it's coming now. So it's just a matter of getting the information out there. We're going to talk about that and use this show as sort of the first launching pad for talking about it and finding out what people's concerns are and maybe what some of the accommodations are for that. We're speaking with Pete White, the city council president in the city of Pittsfield.
You know, one thing, Sean, I know we'll talk about a lot of things, but, you know, there's no lack of things that the city needs to do. There's always potholes to be filled, roads to be fixed, sidewalks that are not in the shape we'd want them, maintaining, you know, grass along city-owned areas, maintaining the grass at our parks, our school. There's our schools. There's so many things that the taxpayer dollars pay for.
Yeah.
And we fully understand that some people think taxes are high. I still think we get a pretty good bang for our buck. You know, if you call 911 when it's working, hopefully we don't see that happen again.
That wasn't a Pittsfield problem.
Right, that was a statewide
problem.
Yeah, that was a statewide problem. But when you call 911, you call the police department, you call the fire department, someone shows up. Especially our fire department is first on scene.
Yeah.
For 911 calls, usually beating the local ambulance companies by a few minutes.
Yep.
I would never want to see that change. I always want to know that there's trained EMTs on scene when someone needs something.
Yep. And in a location nearby where they're needed, right?
Yeah.
Which is why we have a central fire station, and then we have the, four other stations throughout the city?
Having the headquarters and our substations makes it so we can get to people when they need us or when, you know, they need the fire department.
Yeah, and it's a big city. I mean, geographically speaking, 49 square miles. So you really need to get, you know, some of those, like I think of the the Barker Road station, for example, or the Pex Road station. Those are, you know, out in corners of the city where it would be hard if you were just dispatching from the central location.
Yeah, where I am out on Jason Street, you know, if it wasn't for the Barker Road fire station, it would take probably 5 minutes longer for a fire truck to get anywhere in my neighborhood.
Yep.
And, you know, there are plenty of neighborhoods that go on past Gale Ave, past Jason, that we need to make sure that if anyone needs them.
Right.
You know, Bill Sturgeon will also always talk about we're an aging city. We have more seniors, more people with needs. And, you know, even, you know, a young person who has a heart attack at age 20 doing something needs that fire truck and eventually ambulance to get there to save their life.
Yeah. You know? Well, and I think of other neighboring communities also are not immune to these issues. And I think of Williamstown, you know, building a new fire station or working on that. And I think Lenox working on the new municipal services construction, which is going to be fire and police, all dealing with those things. But also, you know, sometimes those, I think of Williamstown, they're putting the fire station in a place where if you have to get to South Williamstown from the fire station, that's a long, long drive. And so Pittsfield has a lot of built-in advantages that maybe we take for granted sometimes of having these things and knowing that our taxes pay for them. And yet, you know, it's like, no, they're there. They're, you know, if we need them, they're going to take care of us.
You know, we already talked about our schools. You know, we can talk about how, you know, to really fix the roads to where they should be. I think the number would be around $30 million. You know, on top of that, we definitely need a new police station.
Yeah.
We're looking at a new school on the Crosby campus to better serve that section of town, along with what the school committee is doing with realigning potentially how school services are provided.
Right.
You know, we're always trying to look at better ways of doing things, but the city's not shrinking, even if it shrinks in population.
Right.
We still have a very large geographic area, and hopefully if we can get the schools to where, you know, some people think they should be, where they're not in status or anything else, not just based on the education, but based on some of the transient nature of the people coming through, what students' home lives are like. If we can try to get that stuff in check and we can start getting more people to stop choicing out of Pittsfield, that is a huge amount of money we would bring back into the district that would potentially even lower taxes.
Right. And in fact, we had a lengthy discussion here with Jake Eberwine, who works for Burke 12 now and was a former superintendent here in Pittsfield. And we talked about school choice and the whole scheme of it, basically, that started at the beginning of the Reformation of school, you know, from 1993, the school, what's the actual word?
I know what you're talking about. It'll come to me later in the show.
But anyway, that's when it all started, right?
Yeah.
Was the ability of students to choose another district to go into. And, of course, the charter schools and other things have changed, really, the landscape of what kind of choices parents have to send their kids. But then you look at sort of the disparity of that between, let's say, a Pittsfield and a Lenox or a Pittsfield and a, you know, Dalton, Wacona.
I think when I was listening to that show, you know, one of the things is a lot of these towns have also lost population as well, so they have more capacity to take more of our students.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't fault any parent for trying to get their student the best possible education they can.
Yeah.
I think it's in Pittsfield.
Yeah.
Not everyone agrees with that, and I hope we can get them to the point where they can see how great our Pittsfield schools are. But parents are going to do what parents feel they need to do, and we just need to keep working towards, you know, having the best and competing with student with neighboring towns that have, you know, the room for them.
Well, it's a stark note to say also that some of these districts without the Pittsfield students wouldn't have much of a district at all, and probably would be looking to regionalize with another town. And it's the Pittsfield students in a lot of cases that have allowed them to keep their district. So lots of inequities there.
Not to mention
the fact, as we talked with Jake Eberwine, that the reimbursement rate has been stuck at $5,000, not the real cost of educating a student. So that would really throw things, you know, crazy if that were ever adjusted. So that's probably why you don't see a lot of change there. That's another whole show.
One change we have seen, though, is Taconic.
With the new
Taconic being vocational only, I think it's pretty close to capacity as far as school choice and students there. So that is bringing more dollars into Pittsfield. So anyone who says, you know, why did we spend the money on making the new Taconic and, you know, having it be the gem that it is, well, it attracts students.
Yeah. It can do both. It can highly educate the students, and it can also bring in the dollars and make up for some of the losses that we're seeing on the other sides. Another part of the budget process, not directly tied to it, but another agreement that was made at the city council level, was the water and sewer rates this year. And maybe help us understand that, Pete, just a little bit. And we only have a couple minutes to the top of the hour. Maybe we'll continue that right after. But the idea was that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the water and sewer rates have been unpredictable in the last few years. They've been wild swings. Sometimes they stayed level and there wasn't much of a change, and then there were some big changes needed, and suddenly people had very large increases in their water and sewer rates. And this approach that was passed recently to sort of tie it to a CPI number and then an organizational factor or an operational factor. Those two things are designed to keep it more level?
Well, the CPI index is one of the measures we're going to be using along with an operational services function number or something.
Yeah.
OSF.
Okay.
I'm blanking
factor.
On a, yeah, I think something like
operational
that.
Operational services factor.
And it'll take, you know, what is the consumer price index going up by, and also what are our needs?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of waiting and waiting and waiting, which we know is bad because we end up with these like 24 to 50% increases,
yeah.
you know, hopefully.
Which is really untenable for most people, right?
It's hard to budget for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you get in a groove, you know things are going to go up by a little.
Mm-hmm.
You're not expecting them to go up by a lot.
Right.
And by the time it's brought to us as a city council, you know, we're forced into approving higher increases because you got to keep the water flowing, you got to keep the toilets flushing and the clean water running.
Yeah, there's no choice.
Right. Those, you know, sewer and water bills go straight to keeping the sewer and water running.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this new ordinance that was passed that Mayor Marchetti and Commissioner Morales put forward is going to be able to let people know, okay, you're going to expect an increase at about this.
Yeah.
And the mayor brought an OSF factor forward of 10%. The council lowered it to 8%.
Yeah. So is that basically what we can expect for rates to increase 8% a year, or will there be some years where it won't be that much?
I will hope that there'll be some years that it's not that much. I think everyone forgets city councilors pay taxes and sewer and water fees as well. However, it'll be close to that.
Mm.
You know, we've got to keep thinking, you know, this infrastructure was put in a long time ago. It's starting to, you know, some of it has failed. I think you're constantly seeing things cut into the roads
yeah.
and things that need upgrading on the city side of it, not just the resident side. So I'm hoping it can go down, but at least it'll be steady.
Well, and you hate seeing that happen in January, too, where they're opening up the roads and fixing a water main break. You know, nobody wants to see that or have to deal with that on either side, the folks that are cutting into the road or the people without the water or sewer that day. So for sure, that's one of the expectations, I think, of city government is that they'll provide working, you know, clean water and sewer. We're talking with Pete White. He is the Pittsfield City Council President and City Councilor at Large. And this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. Lots more to talk about. We're going to be talking trash in the second half of the show. But we'll be right back after this. This is 89.7 WTBR FM.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Revolution!
Yeah, baby, yeah!
89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from the Office of Cultural Development in Pittsfield. The next First Fridays at 5 is July 5th. They'll have the Berkshire Blues Legend Show on the main stage with the Amy Ryan Band and Misty Blues. Wandering Dance brings African music and dance to Persit Park and a family fun zone in Dunham Park. For more details, go to lovepittsfield.com and UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass. Now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
Hi, this is Lisa Torrey from RSVP. Do you need a ride to the doctors? Then let RSVP take you there. Our transportation program is a long-standing, reliable program that has been providing clients with rides to medical appointments for well over 50 years. To inquire about booking a ride or volunteering for RSVP, please call 499-9345.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Do you like hard rock and heavy metal music?
Oh, yeah!
Well, then join me here Friday nights from 8 to 10 for Wounded Radio. Every Friday night, I play 2 hours of the best music on the planet, from AC/DC to ZZ Top and everything in between.
This is gonna be cool.
Want to hear a song on Wounded Radio? Request it on the Wounded Radio Facebook page. And join me here Friday nights at 8 for Wounded Radio.
Yeah!
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sondrini.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you, and we're live this morning on Thursday, June 20th, and we have Pete White, the Pittsfield City Council President and Councilor at Large, here in the studio. We're talking about all the things that are going on at the City Council level and all of the issues that have come up already this year. And lots to talk about for sure. We're going to talk about the upcoming changes in your trash pickup, so I know you're going to want to listen to that. First, let's get to the weather forecast and see what summer hell we have in store for us coming up today.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Heat advisory in effect until 8 p.m. EDT this evening. Today, partly sunny. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind, frequent lightning, and heavy rainfall this afternoon. Hot with highs around 90. West wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind, frequent lightning, and heavy rainfall in the evening. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. West wind around 5 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Chance of rain 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, so one more day of 90-degree temperatures, punctuated by some thunderstorms and a cooling off after that. And then I'm hearing we're going to be in the 80s next week. I'm sorry, 2 days from now for the rest of the week. And then still humid, though. So, you know, the 80s are still nothing to mess around with.
Yeah, I was very happy when I went out yesterday morning to downtown Pittsfield. I stopped at Car Hardware and picked up another air conditioner. Hmm. And I was very happy to see they had a nice selection in, because I know in some previous years it's been tough to get an air conditioner. So yeah. I think, you know, grab them now. We know we're going to have a long summer in front of us, and you know, get them while they're in stock.
It must be tough trying to figure out what to order, because then you could have a summer that doesn't have these big heat waves. That happens also. And then you could order all these air conditioners, have them in stock, and nobody buy them. So it must be very difficult to figure it out.
I think an early heat wave helps out a bit.
Yeah. Then you know at least you're going to be selling some for sure. So our city's trash plan is changing. And for years, through our taxes, we've had an unlimited trash pickup at the curb, which is pretty unusual, pretty amazing that it was happening for so long. I would imagine it has cost the city quite a bit of money, though, over the years, and this is an effort now in changing it to maybe rein some of those costs in.
Yeah, it's gone up in the millions over the last 8 years or so. And, you know, this year it's around, I think, $5 million for pickup and disposal.
Yeah.
And the companies are changing, you know. Previous times where mayors have tried putting forward ideas to move to carts or toters, as they're locally called, have failed.
Yep.
And they haven't been a big push from the hauler.
Yeah. And so did a pay-as-you-throw system where you would buy a bag and haul that out to the corner too, right? That kind of failed.
I think it kind of died on the vine.
Yeah.
It we just filed that the other night, so that one just was, you know, said we're not doing it. Yeah. And one of the reasons Councilor at the time, now Mayor Marchetti, Councilor Persip, and I put that bag ban forward was because we weren't getting any movement on toters. Mm. We weren't getting any movement on trying to put any kind of stopping of the unlimited trash in place. And we knew that this is one of the biggest costs of taxes going up. It's you know, one of the biggest costs for the city. So we knew something had to change. The greatest thing about putting that bag plan forward is everyone loved Toters afterwards. Like, we had so many people say, you know, the Toters didn't sound so bad after you told us the pay-as-you-throw bag plan. And, you know, to be clear, people are still going to get a 48-gallon toter for trash included with what they pay in taxes. Mm-hmm. Also, you can start with a 48-gallon recycling bin, and you can request a second recycling bin at no charge. If your family decides you need more than a 48-gallon trash toter for curbside pickup, you have an option of paying $160 a year. It comes down to $40 a quarter. I think it's like $13.33 a month, or $3.33 a week. You know, but
to
you
get
pay
an
that,
extra 48 gallons of trash.
Exactly.
Picked up.
Mm-hmm. But you pay that in the $40 that would be put on your sewer and water bill quarterly. Okay. If you choose to get that extra 48 gallons, they're all going to be serial numbered. Mm-hmm. They're going to know what houses they belong to. And it's a way to put more into the recycling bins, put more into the city's programs of having other materials picked up or dropped off at different boxes around the city. If we can keep things out of the waste stream, we can save money.
Yeah. Trash. That's really the key, right, is that we're recycling at a very low rate right now because everything's unlimited. So it, if it's too much of a hassle for someone, they'll just say, just throw it in the garbage. Right. I think a lot of people do that and say, well, what's the consequence? There's no consequence to me. If I want to throw something away in the garbage, I'll throw it away in the garbage. Who cares? It's just, you know, if you have the moral fortitude to say, no, I think I want to recycle, so I'm going to take the effort and put the, a lot of people don't do that. So now it's really in their best interest, or it will be in their best interest, to do that work.
Well, and when we started this debate, when I first started the debate on the council, I know it had come up once before. Recycling was at 11% of the city.
That's pretty low.
So, you know, what does that make it? Like 89% is trash.
Right. Which you know, it can't 11%. Be. It
now
can't be that much.
It's 9% now. Yeah. So it's actually gone down. Wow. We recycle less than we did, you know, 6-7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's costing the city taxpayers more money.
Right.
And a lot of memes and bad information is put out there about what happens once you recycle, how it doesn't make it to being recycled. Mm. People don't understand where the cost savings come in is the tipping fee is so much less. I think it's around $70 compared to $100-something for trash. And then we get an offset of selling that recycling once it's sorted and everything else. Mm. So, you know, we may be paying, you know, if it's 70, we may get like 25 to 50 off that.
Okay.
So it costs less to put it in your recycling bin if it's recyclable.
Yeah. And that's a commodity too. So those prices will change over time, right? Sometimes the recyclables are worth more to sell and get the offset, and sometimes they're worth less.
Right.
But in general, and we don't know, unfortunately, what happens to the stuff after it goes away, right? We think in our heads, at least, that most of it does get processed correctly, but there's probably a certain percentage that doesn't, right? That ends up being just thrown away with the rest of the garbage stream. We don't want that to happen, but it may happen.
Things do get sorted out
mm-hmm.
once they're at the municipal recycling facility in Springfield. You know, black plastics, we know, don't get picked up by the sensors. You know, it'd be best until we come up with a solution. If restaurants, other organizations stopped using black plastic until we come up with a way to recycle it.
Yeah.
Because right now it's pretty much worthless. It just gets tossed.
Well, we have a plastic bag ban in the city of Pittsfield that was passed. Could we do a black plastic ban? Would that something like that work? Because that's what you're doing, right, is you have to regulate at least some of the stuff that comes to us. I know that a lot of people order things online, and it comes with a lot of extra packaging that you say, why did they need to put this in all this packaging, right? Where can we make those changes?
Could it be done versus what it would it work are two vastly different questions. It could be done.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather see communication and conversations happen before a ban gets put in place. I know at some point somebody will propose it.
Mm.
You know, we have a lot of people who are very environmentally minded, thinking things like the bag, plastic bag ban and things like that are good. You know, now are we really saving? You know, I voted for it.
Mm-hmm.
Are we really saving on plastic, or did everyone just go to the highest mill possible that's still allowed and they sell it?
Yeah.
You know, so I think we need to be really careful with bans that they actually are getting us to where we want to go. I think we should focus more on alternatives.
Yeah.
With the black plastic something needs to be done, and it could be just upgrading sensors at recycling facilities. But if there's no market for it, it still doesn't help.
Right. What about educational efforts? And, you know, we're talking about it today, so that counts as an educational effort. But to get this information to people, not only the sort of logistics of getting the two toters and what you're getting and how much you have to pay for an extra one or whatever, but other things like recycling, like what's recyclable and what are you doing some good or some, are you hurting the process by adding things to the recycles that can't be recycled, like the black plastics or some of the other things? How can people really understand what all those things are? It's a lot to think about.
We need to have better education out there. I know I've started following Casella on Facebook. Casella Waste Management is who picks up our trash now. I also follow Republic Services, who's our former trash hauler. And they've started putting out, like, recycling, like, ads, commercials out there. A lot needs to be done more. I think our city website can be clearer. I would almost rather have a what's not recyclable because, you know, yogurt cups.
Yeah.
They've got the little symbol on them, but for the most part, they're not recyclable.
Yeah.
You know, black plastics have that recycling symbol on it, but are not recyclable. Mm-hmm. I think working with the resources we have, I know Commissioner Morales is working on seeing if we can have a person just for Pittsfield to help with some of this, in addition to what Casella has agreed to in the contract. Yeah.
Well, I think we here at WTBR and PCTV will do our part and get that information out there for people as well. And we'll be more than happy to cooperate and get that information in people's hands so that they can understand it a little bit better. Maybe some video programming or something where we have some various recycles and we decide, you know, which ones can go in the bin and which ones can't. I think that might be a really good thing to do.
Right. And I think if people really, if anyone's not driving and they can write down an address.
Yeah.
Is, of course, my phone started listening to me versus going to it, but it's Springfield MRF. If you Google Springfield Materials Recycling Facility or Springfield MRF online, that is where our materials go to.
And so it's all up to them, essentially. It doesn't matter whether something's recyclable on a national basis or in some other state. It really has to do with just this particular recycling facility, what they will take and what they want.
Yeah, and it's springfieldmrf.org, and that's where you can see exactly what is recyclable. You can see what the facility looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing is do not bag your recyclables. Mm. If you put it in a plastic bag and then you throw it in the bin, you're actually causing problems because that'll gum up the system.
Yep.
Those bags get stuck in the system and doesn't help. So, you know, make sure that those are loose in it. It'll be the same once we have them in the toters. They'll need to be loose.
It's really just a matter of good habit forming. I think it does take a while to break old habits and to know that when you have something in your house that it needs to go in a different place than what you're used to doing, and just to say it's worth it to me. And if you're trying to save on the amount of trash you're putting in that bin, maybe it's worth it to you. And I think that's the overall thought process here. Let's talk about the transfer station for a minute, because that is now... previously, it was the incinerator that was taken down, and now Casella owns that, and they're rebuilding it into a working transfer station for the city of Pittsfield. People will be able to buy stickers, but they're going to be higher than they used to be. $120 a year. What do you get for the $120?
For the $120 a year, you can bring unlimited recycling and yard waste for that $120, and then you can pay for additional bags of trash to be thrown out. Like a medium bag will cost like $5, $8
on
for
top
a large,
of the 120
on top
a year.
Of the 120 a year.
And then what about things like driving in a sofa or couch or some other big bulky waste?
They'll have fees attached to them. You'll need $120 fee for the sticker. You'll need that sticker going in for everything except yard waste. We were able to push back and get a little bit in the contract change to be able to have a $20 sticker that allows you to bring 20 bags of brush up to their Hubbard Ave facility that we've all known under many different names, now Casella.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
but up to 20 bags per year?
Up to 20 bags per ticket.
Per ticket.
So you pay $20. Mm-hmm. You don't have to pay the $120 fee for the yearly fee. The ticket is a punch system.
And you also have to be a Pittsfield resident, right?
Pittsfield resident. So you'll have to prove you're a Pittsfield resident to get the sticker, to go up there at all. besides whatever they figure out with other towns. But be a Pittsfield resident, and you'll be able to bring waste up. If you bring it in a plastic bag, you have to empty the plastic bag, same as you used to. Mm. Or you can bring it up in those contractor big
paper bags,
mm-hmm. and you'll be able to dump those out. For the bulky waste, the sofas and everything, you can still get the $20 sticker and put it at curbside.
Just for that one item.
For the one item, we're figuring out when those pickups will be. Mm-hmm. It may be on a more on-call basis than just putting it out there, so you may have to monitor that. There's also a program where you can get other household items picked up at no charge that go and, you know, make it into places that resell these things.
Yeah.
So we're trying to have more diversion options for the trash. And also, you know, if you're going to pay the $120 to be able to go up to the transfer station and you're going to bring your trash, I don't know why you wouldn't pay $160 and have it picked up weekly versus paying for it to be, you know, disposed of per bag on top of the $120 fee.
Not to mention you driving it there.
Exactly.
Right.
Your time, it's only open like 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be more efficient just to get a second toter and pay for that if that's the direction you're going.
Yeah.
And honestly, it comes down to we need to have things less packaged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the greatest things is my mom had some medical supplies delivered, and the foam in it was able to be just recycled. Like, you could wash it away.
Oh, yeah.
You put it outside.
There's some other styrofoam and things like that I know that are medical deliveries that are just, they have to go directly in the trash. And that's the worst thing in the world. The styrofoam doesn't break down at all, ever.
We need a system to pick up those coolers
that
things like insulin come in. You know, we'll have like eight of them stacked on the porch and just trying to give them away to fishermen or anyone who might end up using them. But yeah, we need to come up with better ways to have things delivered that are more sustainable, or start putting charges on it that hopefully don't go to the people, but you know, every fee, every charge is to encourage better behaviors.
Yeah. And that will be the thing that drives some of this is consumer desire and consumer need. And they say, hey, look, the pressure's on us to not, not throw away so much packaging and all that stuff. So please send me something that doesn't have as much packaging. Or,
you
know, when I go to a store, I'm going to choose something that doesn't have that kind of packaging. Those are the kind of choices that I think have to be made.
If you're not buying local, also if you're on Amazon, you can choose to have it. If you order multiple items, there's an option to where you can choose come in less boxes and you might wait a week.
Yep.
You know, that's another way to save money, because even though we encourage everyone to recycle and we're going to do everything we can to have more recycling goes in, we still pay for it.
Yeah. And so let's put a bow on this. When does this all start? When can people expect the changes to start in their trash pickup?
I think they're going to be dropping off the toters September, early October frame, and then rolling it out on a per route basis from there.
And what about special circumstances like a senior who isn't able to get the toter down to the end of the curb and they are able to just put it in their backyard or something like that?
The city has a program. I think the best way to do it is either contact public services or the mayor's office. You can come in, fill out a form, and if you're deemed eligible for it, the Casella haulers will come to your backyard and pull the toter out for you and bring it back.
Okay. What about people that
have... Which is a system in place now.
Yeah, and it's already there, so that will continue.
Yeah.
And what about people that maybe have one big party in a year, and it generates a lot of trash, and they can't fit it all into the 48-gallon. They don't want to get the second 48-gallon, because it's really just once a year, twice a year, something like that, or around the holidays, something. What do they do with the trash for another week?
I think they will have to request it potentially 3 months in advance, but you can request... I don't know the exact time frame, but you can request another barrel to be dropped off for a limited amount of time. I would also say, if you're the only person on the block having it, talk to some of your neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, there may be a way to work something out. Mm-hmm. You know, get to know your neighborhood. I think there's a lot of things that could be solved if it's a one-time issue. I know when my mom was recently in the nursing home, I was putting out maybe like half...
Minuscule amount,
a third of what I would put out normally. And I felt bad some days of even putting it out to the curb. There was so little there.
Right.
So I think there's ways we can talk to our neighbors and work out those big days. But if not, Casella has an option for us.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Pete White, by the way. He's city council president here in the city of Pittsfield and councilor at large for the city. And we're talking about all kinds of different issues, wrapping up the trash conversation here and moving on just to a couple of other things that
came up. Oh, yeah. I have one thing quick
Go
that's changing, and it's the way counselors are contacted through social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been changing for a while now, but there's really a bigger push now. Many of us have city councilor pages.
Okay.
That is what people should tag.
Mm.
They shouldn't be tagging our personal accounts. They shouldn't be messaging our personal accounts. Mm. If we have those pages set up just for our city council business, that's where people should be contacting us. If not, on the contact information on the city website. We all have emails there. We all have phone numbers there.
And what's the reasoning behind that?
The state is putting more of a push to make sure that communications are tracked.
Mm.
And none of us want our private accounts tracked.
Mm.
It's not us not wanting to be friendly with people. We've all tried to give multiple alternatives. However, we want to follow state law. And to follow state law, we need to use our listed email addresses, our listed phone numbers, and if we have social media accounts just for the council, to use them just for the council. So you're going to be seeing more of us trying to get you to contact us in that way.
So it's not the city councilors trying to avoid the communication. It's really more to follow what the state's looking for.
It's what the state's looking for, and hopefully someday they have to follow their own rules and they can't caucus and everything else that prevent us from getting some stuff done.
Well, I won't hold my breath there.
Yeah, they have to follow less rules than municipalities, and that's unfair.
Funny how that works. Let's move on to veterans free parking, and we've only got a couple minutes left. What's the status of that, being able to park anywhere in the city of Pittsfield if you have the veterans plate or if you were to make an application, right?
If you have a veterans plate, you can park in any of the street lots, the parking municipal lots, or on street at no fee.
And that's already in place.
That's in place if you have the plate.
And that's for city residents.
City residents, if you have the veterans plate, same as if you have a handicap placard, you can park anywhere without paying. If you are a veteran in Pittsfield and you want to get this and you don't want to pay for the plate, you can go to the Veterans Services office and request to be put on the list. Mm. But you do need to request this happening.
So there was some question about the implementation of that. It sounds like that's been worked out and that will move forward a little more smoothly. There's still some questions hanging out there, right?
Some questions. City councilors had the best intentions. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure we're also working with the city staff that are actually going to have to implement these things.
Yep.
So we don't rush things just because they should have already been in place.
Right.
We need to make sure that the city staff have all of the measures ready to go.
Any new plan, you're going to have some wrinkles.
Yeah.
Splash pads. Both splash pads are back up and working.
They are.
How in the world did that happen so quickly?
It wasn't so quickly. The city has been working on these things.
It did take a while, right? But they weren't expecting it to be back up before the beginning of summer.
They've had trucks out working on these things at least for the past week or two longer. I've seen the trucks out there. They've been going. They're monitoring it. Mm. They're trying to get it done. The best thing is if you see people in areas they shouldn't be in, call the police.
Yeah.
You know, if you see something that's a little funny going on, call the police. We might have been able to avoid these things. Hopefully we get some better security for those houses.
Is that going to get put in place?
I don't know. That'll be up to the Parks Commission.
Yeah.
You know, same as we have an elected school committee, we have an appointed Parks Commission that makes those decisions. We're going
to I don't think anyone wants to see that happen again, right?
No,
they don't. They want to see it work and have it not vandalized.
Right.
Yeah. Tough to see that happen, but it's so great that it came back at the right time.
They worked hard to get it done. They were out there every day working on that.
Not easy. The PHS boiler plan, and that is, we've seen a couple of things happen on that front. Those are boilers that were installed before the building was actually built, right? They were brought in, and then the building was built around these things.
They're old, like, locomotives.
In 1931.
Yeah. So
the process to take those out and to put those back in, first of all, very expensive. Some of it was paid for by ARPA money. And then the city council also had to augment that, right?
We did, and it needed to be done.
Mm.
you know, we've gotten plenty of use out of those, and we need to stop having, you know, students boiling,
opening windows in January,
everything else, because it's just not a well-regulated system. You know, Director Filio is going to get the best system in there possible. They'll have controls in place. It'll hopefully cost us less money to operate these things, more efficient. But it was time.
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people will see that now. Will they have it in place, do you think, before it actually gets cold? Although I did see the school committee have something about that where they will be running a portable boiler, right?
I think they'll be working quite hard over the summer to get that in place for when the cold months come.
That's going to be a race to time, that's for sure. City Councilor at Large and City Council President Pete White, thank you so much for being here this morning. Time went by fast, as I expected it would. How can they contact you if they want to learn more?
413-329-4194 or pwhite@cityofpittsfield.org.
All right, you heard it here, folks, on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM. Good to be with you. We will be back again tomorrow with another live show. Have a good day.